Hey there, good morning. Welcome to another episode of Spirit in the Morning. Today is Wednesday. I'm Gary Zimak, and I want you to listen for a very special sound. We are ringing the bell because today we celebrate the feast of St. Luke the Apostle, special day. The evangelist. St. Luke was one of the four evangelists, and we celebrate his day today, very special commemoration. So we ring the bell whenever we have a feast here on Spirit in the Morning. Why don't we kick things off with prayer? We've got a great show today. I want to tell you about it, but let's pray. Let's place ourselves in the presence of God. Let's remember he's watching over us. He's here. He's waiting to hear from us. And let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we come before you today with gratitude for giving us another day. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us into existence. You love us so much that you created us so we could share in your life. Man, that is a great gift, and we're very thankful for that today. Father, we also come to you with many problems in our lives, challenges, situations that can often look hopeless. We recognize that with you, however, there is no such thing as hopelessness. So with that in mind, we present to you our needs, any problems that we may have. We give them to you. We ask you to help us with them. We ask you to guide us through the day. We ask you to allow us to feel your presence. A lot of times we aren't able to feel you because we get so distracted. Well, today we're going to ask you to let us be able to feel your presence with us at all times. Father, I ask that you speak through us on the program today. Let your words go forth from our lips. We lift up all those who are hurting in any way, family members, friends, people around the world. We pray for our government leaders as well. And we pray for peace throughout the world. And we ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, again, I'm Gary Zimak, and it's great to be with you here on this Wednesday. Today, we have got some great guests. We're going to be joined by Michael Carney. Michael Carney is the director of the soon-to-be-released film, Same Kind of Different as Me. This film is based on a New York Times bestseller. It's going to be opening around the country on October the 20th in just a few days. Michael's going to be here with us to share some thoughts about the movie. Also, Father Thomas Daly will be here to share some thoughts from his book, Live Today Well, St. Francis de Sales' Simple Approach to Holiness from Sophia Institute Press. I like the idea that it's simple, and this is a great book, and I'm so glad that Father Daly has agreed to be a regular guest on the program. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce my co-host, my main man, looking very dapper and spiffy today. That's a nice shirt, Dave Parker.
Thank you, Gare. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well.
Good.
And you are?
More wide awake than yesterday?
Oh, much more.
We all...
Sleep is not overrated.
Frank Eliasson?
Well rested.
Although
I was like, you know, not rushing to come in, but I was well rested.
But we're more awake than yesterday. We were all sleepy yesterday. I don't know how that happened.
All at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
That was a triple thing. A triple low, I don't know.
But we are wide awake today and ready to get started. Boy, it's a bit nippy out there.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Nippy and dark.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Boy. It's not going to get any better anytime soon. I mean, I'm not trying to bring anybody down. I'm just trying to keep it real.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, you look pretty dapper yourself. You have a nice, you look very casual. You're very, you know, spiffy as well.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Oh, Frank, you too. Oh, he's
I'm wearing
to my
another
right.
Eagle shirt.
I know. I like that
I
shirt.
I think I've been continuing the trend.
Yeah, how many of those do you have?
I don't know. I've been like going on a streak.
Although, yeah, I know.
Yesterday I did wear a regular dress shirt, but today I have a nice Eagles dress shirt on.
Yes, you do. It's very nice.
I'm going through a bit of withdrawal. We're not going to see the Eagles again until Monday night.
That is correct.
That's a big gap there.
It is. It's right? Kind of like having a bye week in the middle of this. Second bye week in the season. We'll have another one in a few weeks.
Yeah.
About 3 weeks.
I was going to just say, I mean, we're talking about our sartorial splendor here today, right?
No, I thought you were talking about that we look nice.
Yeah, that too. Oh, that's a good one. Yes, sir.
You are a wordsmith, Mr. Parker.
I try.
You succeed. You do a very good job. Speaking of the Eagles, though, I don't want to leave this without. I mean, I'm a big bandwagon jumper. I tend to get carried away, as those of us do living in the city of brotherly love. We get a little excited sometime. What do you think, boys? Is this the year?
Yes.
Do you?
I think so.
Oh, I'm a Philadelphia fan. Too soon to say anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't go there at this point.
But it's hard not
I'm
to...
I'm from Erie. I say yes.
It's hard not to get excited, though.
I'm an outsider.
No, it definitely, you definitely not get really. Excited. And it's really kind of interesting because I personally have been not really that engaged with football for a few years now. And I still haven't been tremendously engaged. Doesn't mean I'm not a fan of the Eagles or rooting for the Eagles. But, you know, I would do other things. And it's pulling me back in slowly. And I, you know, I'll certainly start finding the time to keep up on the games and whatnot. Although it does help that we had a Thursday night game, we'll have a Monday night game, so I won't have things to do with the kids and everything else. But you know, I do think that there does feel good in Philadelphia sports right now. You know, the Phillies are done, so we put them off to the side.
Yep.
Yes.
You now have an exciting time for the Flyers. You have an exciting time for the Sixers.
Yeah,
and the Eagles.
Embiid.
Yeah. You know, Eagles are really looking, right now, they're looking like the best team in the NFC.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, top one or two team in the NFC. You have Aaron Rodgers going out, who was,
that was a Packers, huge blow.
The Packers are a team I certainly would have been worried about.
Mm.
And, you know, and the even Kansas City Chiefs, they look they looked infallible when we played them. Now, you know what? Yeah. Not so much.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of good things going on. And you know what? We need it in Philadelphia.
We do. But, you know, you touched on something. And, Dave, you might not be able to relate to this because you're not a native Philadelphian. But, Frank,
I've been here a while, though.
But so maybe you can get this. I don't know if it's just me being a lifelong Philly fan, but do you sometimes think, like, ah, what's happening is they're just setting us up.
They want
us to get on the bandwagon. So it's the story of the football with Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown, right?
Exactly. You're waiting for the collapse, and you know, kind of keep looking for it. You know, but
maybe we can change that mindset.
I know.
With our listeners, anyways.
But I think
start a trend.
That's funny.
Yeah, and there's reasons that we have felt this way. Well, let's face it, we've not won a Super Bowl. You know, we did win in 1960 before a Super Bowl existed, but we haven't won in a long time. And so, you know, this city's been through some tough times in trying to find those winners.
Yeah.
But hopefully that changes.
Well, back to the here and now. I was going to say this long break, it's great for, I mean, because NFL football, I mean, football is brutal. And these players can rest. I mean, you know, if they were dinged up, and just if you're not injured, I mean, you get bruised and battered. And it's nice to recover. So it's almost like a fresh start. I think the timing is perfect.
That's a very good point, Dave.
I think the timing is very perfect.
I can't imagine what a brutal sport football is. I never played football. Did you ever play football? I know you're an athlete.
Well, I played like sandlot and stuff because I primarily was a swimmer.
Right.
You know, and our high school swimming coach, and he didn't want us. He said, if you want to go do other stuff, well, then get off the team, basically. And so skiing, because I'm from Erie, and you can go skiing, good winter. So everything was sandlot for me. Football, basketball. So
okay. Yeah. So
others.
It can be really physically exhausting, though.
Excuse me, yes.
You're right. They do need a break. Let's take a quick look at the weather before we review the gospel today, which is a special gospel for the feast day of St. Luke. Currently, we have 38 degrees. Boy, that's a bit chilly at our Doylestown studios, 38 degrees. Today's going to be sunny with a high near 71. Tonight, clear with a low around 51. And then Thursday, sunny with a high near 73. We've got the extremes. We've got the lows overnight, and then we've got the relatively warm temperature during the day. But some nice stretch coming up with no chance of rain, from what I understand.
Yeah, sounds like a new group, the Extremes.
That's right.
I was trying to do a little musical thing. I mean, you're a musical guy.
Yeah, but that, Dave, I'm sorry, man. I love your brother, but I don't know where to go with that one.
Okay.
By the way, make sure you get your rest because we have an extra day this week. We're going to be on live from the Wine Philadelphia Women's Conference on Saturday. Going to go on the air at 7 a.m. regular time, right,
that
Frank?
That is correct.
We're going to be bringing you some events live from the conference, which is sold out.
Speakers, exactly. It's going to be a lot of fun.
which is sold out. Kelly Wahlquist, who is the founder of Wine Women in the New Evangelization, she's going to be live in the studio with us on Friday. She's going to stop by and get us all fired up for the conference. I mean, sellout, second year in a row, 1,200 women.
Yes. If you're in the local area and you're listening now and you're going to attend, come by, visit us, you know.
If you're at the conference, right,
absolutely. Yeah, if you're at the conference, absolutely, come on over. You know, I'm going to be in my red Holy Spirit Radio shirt. I think that's my remote shirt, kind of, sort of. I think the other guys will. I'm not sure, but I can't dictate how they shall dress. But
that's right, you can.
I can influence them.
Not for what I'm mainly Eagles gear. I don't know about that. I have to think about that.
But, yeah, I'm going to be wearing my red Holy Spirit paraphernalia. No, apparel.
We'll bring some pens.
I am not the wordsmith.
Some mugs, maybe, if we have.
See what happens when I try to use fancy words like Dave Frank. It just doesn't work.
All right.
So I think it's time for the gospel. Today we look at a special gospel. This is called a proper gospel for the feast day of St. Luke. It comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. The Lord Jesus appointed 72 disciples, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" This is a unique feature of the Gospel of St. Luke, this idea of the 72 disciples. Luke is the only one of the evangelists that talks about these disciples, the 72, in addition to the 12 of the inner circle, the apostles. They are called, the disciples are called, to go out and share the good news in a slightly different way, but in a way that, Dave, we are really all called to share the good news
absolutely.
Of Jesus Christ in some way with those around us. It's going to be different for each one of us.
We are the 72 apostles, or disciples, if you can, writ large. I had a little thought, but we're going to break, so.
No, I mean, the basic concept is share Jesus in some way with those around you. Not everybody's going to accept the message, but do your best today. When we come back, Michael Carney, we're going to be talking about Same Kind of Different as Me. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for October 18th. Today we celebrate St. Luke. As familiar as we are with the name of today's saint, we know little about the man. A Gentile Christian, his two-volume work shows the parallel between the life of Jesus and that of the Church. Luke's Gospel was probably written between 70 and 85 A.D. In it, he emphasizes Jesus' compassion and patience with sinners and the suffering, stressing that Jesus died for Jews and Gentiles alike. Little people figure prominently in Luke's writings. He makes a point of showing Jesus at prayer before every important step of his ministry, and he portrays the joy of salvation that permeated the early church. Tradition holds Luke to be a native of Antioch, and Paul calls him our beloved physician. He appears in Acts of the Apostles during Paul's second journey to Philippi, accompanies Paul to Jerusalem, and remains near him when he is imprisoned in Caesarea. During those years, he had time to seek information and interview persons who had known Jesus. His writings reveal an expertise in classical Greek style, along with knowledge of Jewish sources. Mentioned in St. Paul's letters to the Colossians, Philemon, and Timothy, Luke died probably around the year 84. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
You are listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Sorrow may come in the darkest night, but the cross has the final word. There's nothing stronger, nothing higher.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. That was The Cross Has the Final Word by the Newsboys featuring Peter Furler. Thanks so much for joining us today in the program. Right now it is 7:18 a.m. All right, on October the 20th of this year, same kind of different as me, the first joint film partnership between Paramount Pictures and Pure Flix is going to be releasing to theaters nationwide. This film has gotten the endorsement of many, many individuals who are familiar to you, including our own Archbishop Charles Chaput. He said this about the film: it's based on a beautiful true story and enriched by a terrific cast. This is a moving portrait of betrayal, forgiveness, and the ripple effect of unselfish love. some high praise from our Archbishop. We are blessed to be joined right now by Michael Carney. Michael Carney is a producer, he's a writer, he is a director, and he also serves as a partner at Inception Films. Michael is the one who adapted the best-selling book, Same Kind of Different as Me, as a screenplay. And he joins us now to talk a little bit about the movie. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Oh, wonderful to have you. Michael, I'm excited about the movie.
Me too. I'm excited that it's finally getting out there, right?
Yeah, boy, you've got some great praise about the film. For the benefit of those who might not be familiar with it, I mean, the publicity is all over the place. I saw something on TV the other day. For somebody who's not familiar with the film, give us the rundown, the stars, the plot, and why we should go to see it.
You know, we were really fortunate to, I was fortunate to get a hold of this material. It's funny how God chases you down. At first, I really wasn't interested in it. But I found out the more they sent me the books and said, hey, just read the book. I called my father. And as I always do, and I say, you know, pray for me, Dad. I want to make sure I'm not missing out on what God has for me.
Yeah.
And he said, what's the name of the book? And I said, Same Kind of Different as Me. And he was like, Michael, I bought 400 copies of that book and passed it out to everyone.
Whoa.
I know. So at that moment, I realized, wait a minute, there's something here. So when I read the book, I was incredibly moved about this story of really three different pathways that all these three different individuals were really going after the same thing and looking for the same thing, and just in very different ways. And they all kind of were searching for home, I think, like we all are.
Mm.
And I was so moved. I don't want to give away, you know, the story. You actually summed it up pretty well at the beginning there.
Okay.
But it was an international art dealer who was not living a good life. He was cheating on his wife. And really the ignition of our film was when she forgave him. And she decided to stay. And that forgiveness propelled the most incredible journey. And it's out of that scene that so many lives were changed, including their own, when they met this homeless drifter, kind of a modern-day slave.
Mm-hmm.
And typically you think it's, oh, well, it's the white guy's coming in and saving the black guy. Well, this is the complete opposite of that. This was the black man that changed these people's lives forever. He saved their marriage, and he actually he was a conduit for helping Ron Hall restore his relationship with his father. So it was just an incredible true story that I couldn't get away from. And we were able to get amazing actors. So Greg Kinnear was our first choice for Ron Hall.
Right.
And we got Greg. He's an Academy Award nominee. Renee Zellweger was Debbie. And she's an Academy Award winner as well. And John Boyd, another Academy Award winner. And Jaime Anansu, a nominee. So For this kind of a film that has real strong faith leaning, we were fortunate to get a real A-cast.
Yeah, you sure were. And here's the thing that touches me, Michael. We hear a lot, and I've said this myself, there's just a bunch of junk. All the movies today, garbage, no message, no moral value. Now here we have this inspirational story. I mean, this is the type of movie we should all get out and see, because this could be life-changing.
I can tell you, Gary, that it has changed many lives. And that was my job. I wanted to steward over the story. You know, it was in the hands of some other producers and some other studios. And Ron would always, you know, when I met him, he would talk about how they just wanted to change the story. I'm just not that smart, right? So if I feel like this is a story that changed all those people's lives, maybe we should tell that story.
Wow.
And so I tried to, I believe God gave it to me to steward over it and make sure that the true story was told, so that, like you said, lives can be affected, you know, and that's what we really did. And we're seeing that. This is one of those things we got to get out support to as believers and Christ followers, so that people will be encouraged to make more of them, right?
Because, exactly.
Like you said, there's not a lot of this kind of film in Hollywood. So.
Exactly. Exactly. And instead of complaining, what we need to do is support films like this so that more will be made, because we need this kind of inspiration. Michael, I have to ask you, you said that, and I like the way you said, and this is the way the Lord works. He just keeps after us, and we try to sometimes ignore him, but he's going to keep pushing. Once you accepted this assignment and you began work on this, I'm sure it changed your life.
It did. You know, I was raised in the church, and so I always understood staying underneath that hedge of protection with the Father. But you know, you get busy and you get working and you get a little bit older, and you can become a check writer, right?
That's
and
right.
One of those films that, and we need money. Don't get me wrong, we need those checks,
mm-hmm.
but we need to get our hands dirty too, and we need to serve. And this really is one of those things that it encourages you to live beyond yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, how we get lifted up is lifting up others. And it's just one of those incredible stories, the simplicity of it's very parable nature, right? So we wanted to do that. We wanted to tell this story, make it wide-reaching, and just motivate people to serve. And also, really, to see people. You know, one of the powerful themes in this film, you know, Ron Hall was this art dealer, and for years, almost 20 years, and this is amazing, he walked past this guy, okay, for 20 years.
20
he didn't
years.
See him.
Yeah.
20 years, this guy slept outside on the grates near his art gallery, never noticed him. And so once they did connect through his wife, she actually made him go down and serve at these missions. That was one. She wasn't going to let him off the hook. She'd be like, I forgive you. She was like, no, you're going to work, and you're going to serve these people.
Mm.
The man, Denver, asked Ron one day, he goes, what do you think you're doing when you give a homeless man a dollar or a plate of food? And Ron was like, I don't know, help him. And he goes, you're not helping him. He'll still be homeless tomorrow. All you're doing is saying, I see you. You're not invisible. And that really hit me when I was reading the book, just going, you know what? We all can, you know, have a tendency to do that, right? And it's about seeing those people. Gary, I can tell you the power of asking someone their name. It was one of the things that hit me again. And these are like simple things, you know, that if you do, it rocks the homeless man at the core. And he would say that. He goes, the fact that you want to know my name was a big thing. And Debbie always would do that. She would always ask them their name. She wouldn't just say hi or hand them a dollar. She would always take the time to ask them their name. And, you know, that grew into this incredible relationship that, like I said, changed many lives.
You know, that's a powerful reminder. And just on a personal note, as I drive to the studio, I would see a homeless man. He was a homeless veteran, and he was collecting money, saying, I'm a homeless veteran. And one day I was prompted to, but I have to admit, I drove past him for a few times before I think the Holy Spirit chased me down and said, hey, you got to talk to this guy. So I rolled my window down. I said, hey, brother, what's your name? And he said, my name's Phil. And we had a little conversation. I gave him something.
Right.
But, you know, you're right. We've got to acknowledge other people. We're all created equal. We're all children of the same Father in heaven, right? And
that
I think,
is it. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes we can look down on others who might be different and say, well, I'm going to help them out because I'm better than them. This is an example where the tables are turned and we're reminded that, no, we're all equal in the eyes of our Father.
That is exactly right. And the incredible story, all these people have backstories too, right? It's not
right.
for the grace of God
yep.
that we, they never, no one intended to be on the street like that and go
exactly.
through that. You know? And that's the thing that we have to remember that how fortunate we are. And also, like I said, the thing about this story is Denver, you know, they never saw that their marriage would be healed through him.
Yeah.
That his marriage, his relationship with his father would be healed through this guy, you know? So it's a pretty incredible story.
It sure is. God's ways are not our ways, brother, right? He's got a plan.
That's right. he sure does.
Same kind of different as me. It opens on October the 20th. And the website, Michael, that I have here is samekindofdifferentasmemovie.com. Is that correct?
That's it. Yes,
to find out more information. Michael Carney, thanks for making time for us here on Spirit in the Morning today.
Thank you, brother.
God bless you, my friend.
God bless you.
Wow, really powerful story. Same kind of different as me. Make sure you get out and see it, October the 20th. When we come back, Father Thomas Daly, stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. A bipartisan Senate deal to curb the growth of health insurance premiums is on shaky ground in Washington. President Trump has reversed course and opposes the agreement, and top congressional Republicans and conservatives have given it a frosty reception. Tennessee GOP Senator Lamar Alexander and Washington Democrat Patty Murray announced their accord after weeks of negotiations and 5 days after Trump said he was halting federal subsidies to insurers with an executive order. Pope Francis has decried the Somalia bombing that killed more than 300 people this past weekend. At the end of his Wednesday general audience in St. Peter's Square today, the Holy Father said this terrorist act merits the strongest laments, especially since it struck an already suffering population. He prayed for the dead and wounded in the Mogadishu attack, and he also appealed for the conversion of the violent ones and encouraged work for peace. And a group of 11 NFL owners and more than a dozen players met at the league's headquarters yesterday to discuss social issues, a discussion that Indianapolis Colts defensive back Darius Butler termed positive. Among the topics discussed was enhancing the players' platforms for speaking out on social issues. Dolphins owner Stephen Ross characterized the meeting as constructive, but added that the NFL's policy on the national anthem, quote, did not come up. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
A quote from St. John of God. Always turn your eyes from the study of your own sin to the contemplation of God's mercy. Devote much more thought to the grandeur of His love for you than to your unworthiness toward Him, to His strength than to your weakness. When you have done this, surrender yourself into God's arms in the hope that He will make you what He requires you to be and that He will bless all you do.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Joe McCarthy managed the New York Yankees during the 1930s and 40s, and he demonstrated that he had creative leadership skills. For instance, one day he approached his shortstop Frank Crisetti saying, "I'm not satisfied with the way Lou Gehrig is playing first base. He's too lackadaisical. I want you to help me. From now on, charge every ball," McCarthy continued. "When you get it, fire it as quickly and as hard as you can to first base, throw it fast, and make it tough for Gehrig." Later, a coach commented to McCarthy, "I guess you were trying to wake up Gehrig." The manager responded, "There wasn't a thing wrong with Gehrig. Crisetti was the one who was sleeping. I wanted to wake up Crisetti." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
No matter the weather, you're always listening in the sun. It's a great day with Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
Stirring me a love that's deep, a love that's wide, a love that's sweet. And help me, Lord, to never keep it to myself. And if my heart should dimly burn, and if my feet should fail to run, call my name and I will come right back to you. 'Cause there's no to myself. And if my heart should dimly burn, and if my feet should fail to run, call my name and I will come right back to you. 'Cause there's no feel. really that simple. I wanna stay close to you, just as simple as this song. I wanna stay close to you, it's really that simple. I wanna stay close to you my whole life long.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Stephanie Gretzinger with No Fear in Love. As that song played, which, by the way, is one of my favorite songs, that's a song that you're probably not going to hear anywhere else on any other Christian stations. That's a powerful song. The first time I heard it, I was at Franciscan University of Steubenville attending Mass. I was speaking there, and I went to Mass, and they performed that. The music group performed that before the Mass started. The words just touched me, something about that song. But what she just said was really, really powerful. I want to stay close to you, Lord. It's really that simple. I think sometimes we overcomplicate our relationship with the Lord, and we forget that it's not that difficult to grow close to Him. It really can be simple. And our next guest is going to share some information with us. Father Thomas Daly holds the John Cardinal Foley Chair of Homiletics and Social Communications at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary, and he's the author of one of my favorite books. The book is called Live Today Well, St. Francis de Sales' Simple Approach to Holiness, from Sophia Institute Press. Father Daly's a regular guest on Spirit in the Morning, and he joins us now. Good morning, Father. How are you today?
Good morning, Gary. I'm great. How are you?
Great, great. You know, Father, do you think sometimes we overcomplicate our relationship with the Lord, and we try to make it more difficult than it has to be?
Oh, I think we tend to overcomplicate most everything,
yeah,
including that relationship, and almost naturally we do, because it's an unusual relationship. It's a supernatural one, so it almost sounds complicated right to begin with.
It really does. It really does. But I've always found that by just talking to the Lord, and this is, I'm going through this right now, this is a learning process for me, by talking to Him and saying, hey, Lord, I want to get to know You better. I think that's the first step to getting to know Him better.
As it would be in any relationship that we begin, any relationship we have with anyone, that's the conversation that we have, sure.
Father, what I like about this book, Live Today Well, is it is simple. But that doesn't mean it's superficial. And I think that's a distinction that we have to make. St. Francis de Sales had a simple approach to holiness. And we can encounter the Lord in our everyday duties. Now, can you talk a little bit about that, how the person going to work, working in an office, working wherever, going to school, even if they're at home, how that person can encounter the Lord in their everyday duties?
Certainly. This simple idea of his, which doesn't necessarily mean easy either.
Good point.
Is to cut away, to simplify, is to cut away all of the things that aren't essential, and to recognize at the heart of things that anything that we do, provided we do it with the intention of loving God, becomes therefore an act of loving God.
Mm.
So, whether that's driving to work, whether it's being at work, whether it's cutting the grass out in the yard or plowing the snow when that comes and it feels like it's coming already.
Oh, don't start, Father. Come on.
You know, anything that we do, provided we do it with the intention of loving, in this case, loving God,
right,
then, in fact, it becomes an act of love.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because sometimes I think that, and I know I've fallen into this trap in the past, sometimes we believe that in order to love God, I've got to be in prayer constantly in a church away from my duties, mm-hmm, the duties of my state of life. And that's not true at all.
That's exactly the point Francis de Sales is trying to make. The devotion of our lives, the holiness of our lives, is not in doing specifically devout or religious or pious things. It's making our lives, whatever that entails,
mm-hmm,
holy.
Wow. And I'm really grateful that you're willing to come on the show on a regular basis and go through this book, because I think there is so much great information in the book. Father, in one of the chapters, you talk about the spiritual directory of St. Francis de Sales. Can you talk a little bit more about that so we can understand what this spiritual directory is?
Certainly. In fact, this whole book, Live Today Well, is based on that spiritual directory.
Okay.
And it's what's referred to as a custom book. Religious orders, particularly monastic orders in the old days, always had a book of customs. How are we, particularly this monastery, going to, I don't know, celebrate Thanksgiving or carry out these particular duties or whatever? It was kind of the guidebook. We might call it a playbook for monastic life. And it was particular to each order. Well, Francis de Sales comes along and, in this tradition, writes what he calls is a spiritual directory or a spiritual guidebook. He says, here's what we're going to do in the Visitation Monastery.
Okay.
And it's a simple presentation of what a nun would do all day long, from getting up in the morning to going to sleep at night. And in that structuring of his directory, he takes it from the beginning of the day to the end to emphasize that spiritual growth and perfection is a job for one day.
Okay.
And if I can take care of that and grow in one day, then tomorrow I can start over again and grow further. Now, there were other additions that were included in the book, but the core of it is this: how am I going to act throughout the day? From getting up in the morning, to going to Mass, to eating meals, to working, to interacting with the sisters, what am I going to do to make all of those things an act of the love of God? And the great thing for us is all of the things he talks about for nuns in a convent 400 years ago are the kinds of things that every single person in the world does. So it applies to all of us.
And you include this spiritual directory as in one of the appendices of your book, correct?
Yes, the more modern English translation.
Right. Now, Father, I love the idea of one day at a time. I do a lot of speaking and writing about overcoming anxiety. It's something I've struggled with. One day at a time, that's the secret for me. You mentioned in your book, this is a quote from your book, and you say, in his view, the view of St. Francis de Sales, the present moment of today is the only one at our disposal, and thus is the only time over which we have any direct control. That is a huge concept, Father.
Well, sure, but if we stop and think about it, it's true. What are the things that we worry about in life? Things that haven't happened yet.
Exactly.
And we can't control that. We can't control the past. It's over. I mean, we can regret it or we can celebrate it, but we can't change it. And the future hasn't come here yet, so we don't really control that.
Right.
We can plan ahead. We can try to foresee things. But we can't master them because they're not right in front of us. The only day that we have is today. The only moment that I have is the present one.
And Father, what can I do to keep focused on that? Obviously, the Lord just doesn't want me to sit around and not prepare for tomorrow if there's something I can do today. But what can I do to remain focused on today and not become overwhelmed thinking about the future?
Well, certainly preparation is key, and it is something we should do. But as Francis de Sales would say, at the end of that preparation, whether it's for, you know, a strategic plan for the future or just preparing today,
right?
At the end of that, we entrust it all into God's hands.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, with that recognition that I am not the master of the universe, there are things in life that are beyond my control.
Mm-hmm.
So I planned well, but I will entrust this to you. If I can, I don't know, each, you know, sort of hour of the day, come to realize that, okay, you know, maybe that hour worked out as I had planned, maybe it hasn't. I entrust it to God. This sort of continual delivering up my plans into the plan of God.
You touch on a great point, one that we forget sometimes. I can only do so much. I'm not really as in control as I think I am.
You can only do what you can do.
And, you know, Father, accepting that brings a lot of peace.
Sure.
Right? But it's hard to accept that.
It is, because we always want to do more and we always want to do better.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that goes to the humility that was such a key virtue for St. Francis de Sales.
Great advice. And again, this is simple, but not necessarily easy. Because we have pride, we have our own ideas, we don't trust as much as we think as we should.
Right, but as with everything else in life, the more we practice these simple things, the better we get at it.
Right. So today, I think the message is loud and clear from our discussion today. The message is, do it today. Take one day at a time. Try to serve God in everything that happens to you today, correct?
Yes, indeed. Live today well.
I like it. Hey, Father, before we run out of time, can I ask to get your blessing, please?
Absolutely. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and your listeners, that all of you may live today well.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Thomas Daly. I'm going to have a link to this book, Live Today Well, from Sophia Institute Press on spiritinthemorning.com. Father, I know you're extremely busy, so I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
I'm happy to be with you, Gary. Thanks so much.
Keep up the good work, my friend. Father Thomas Daly, live today well, one day at a time. Right now, we're going to take a break. We will be back with the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Your job is to sit back, relax, and stay tuned. My job is to get ready for the next segment.
Love,
see you soon.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims, where safety and comfort are the foundations upon which our grandfathers built the company. We provide 24/7 emergency service in plumbing, furnace, and air conditioning repair, proudly serving Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square, as well as southern and eastern Lancaster County. If you are having an emergency with any of these systems, call Summers and Zims at 610-593-5129 or visit our website at sumzim.com, and we will gladly help you return to full operation.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. And in the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet, between the black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see. When I realize I've been sold out by my friends and my family, I can feel the rain reminding me. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When my hopes and dreams are far from me and I'm running out of faith, I see the future I picture slowly fade away. And when the tears of pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me.
and the doctor says I've only got a few months left. It's like a bitter pill I'm swallowing. I can barely take a breath. And when addiction steals my baby girl and there's nothing I can do, my only hope is to trust you. I trust you, Lord. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me.
Welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. That was Eye of the Storm by Ryan Stevenson. The thing to remember is that whatever you're going through today, even if you are in the midst of a storm, the Lord is by your side. He's going to be there in the midst of the storm. Frank Eliasson is giving me the evil eye over there.
We really should save that song for an actual rainy day.
There's a lot of rain sounds at the end of that song.
Exactly. Right now it's nice looking out.
Really.
A little cool, but nice looking out.
I agree. Okay. That's The Eye of the Storm by Ryan Stevenson.
But it's still a very nice song.
It's a great message. Yeah,
I used that song at, I did a parish mission in North Dakota last week, and I had one of the local musicians at the church play that song. It was so powerful. It really moved people because, you know, just because we're facing storms in our life doesn't mean the Lord's not with us. He lets us go through storms. I mean, that's part of life.
Oh, yeah.
But he wants us to turn to him. And
cling to him.
Yeah, that's kind of why that segment with Father Daly was so good just now, because the Lord is there in the ordinary things that we encounter each day.
The mundane things of
life.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's the little things, the simple things, as he has so well said in this book.
Very good, yes. Let's look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse today. It comes from Luke chapter 5, verse 5. The words of Simon Peter. Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." This was when Jesus was calling his first disciples. He called Simon Peter, who was a fisherman. And it was interesting, Dave, to see what's happening here. You can almost feel Simon is questioning Jesus a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you know what? I worked all night. I'm a fisherman. You're telling me to put the nets out, to cast out into the deeper water, to drop my nets again. Mm-hmm. I'm a fisherman. I caught nothing all night. But then, Dave, there is something about that encounter with Jesus that changes Simon Peter.
Absolutely.
And he says, but, okay, at your command, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And what happens?
I'll relent this one time. But I've been doing this for like 25 years, but I'll go with this. You know?
And they end up catching a lot of fish. So it ends up being very a very successful operation. The reminder for all of us is we just got to ask God to help us. And throughout the day, we've got to ask him to help us with what we're doing. If you could see what's going on here, you would wonder. I mean, it's amazing the hand signals that I'm watching now. Are we good, boys?
You're always good when I'm around you.
Yeah, right.
How could you even ask
I love
that?
This. Yeah, I know.
We're
I know.
Adjusting some volumes.
I know. It's very good. Very good.
On the fly.
Anyway, good show today.
Very good. And our first guest was, I can't wait for the movie to come out. I'm looking forward to that.
I really want to see that movie. That sounds like a good, positive flick, you know, from Paramount.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, again, we can complain about the quality of entertainment that's out there. Mm-hmm. It's not all garbage.
But the other piece to it is when there is something good, you should support it. It encourages them to have actually more things
that. And that's what we forget sometimes. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you go out there. And this movie can be a life changer.
Well, absolutely. I'm just thinking about the premise of the movie. I mean, it's based in truth. And for 20 years, this person was, you know, I haven't read the book, but from what the quick description, he was on the street. Can you imagine that? I mean, it's so hard to imagine.
No, and, it is. It is, Dave.
And the art dealer walked past him. And wow. I mean, only God can. I mean, God intervened definitely in that. But that really moved me. So that's why, you know, just the whole concept of the story.
And I think we sometimes forget that homelessness is not just for that person on the street. It could be for me, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's. There but for the grace of God go I, right? We're all equal.
You just
equal.
Took the words out of my mouth. Yes, exactly.
But,
yeah.
But we sometimes don't view other people as being our equals.
Yes.
We judge people a lot of times. I mean, we do it.
That's
I
what
do
we spend
it.
Most
I shouldn't
of our time
do it,
doing.
But I do it.
We do it and we don't even realize we're doing
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not intentional. And
no.
oftentimes it's because, oh, you said this, so you're questioning me, or you're basically saying I'm not doing the right thing, or whatever, as opposed to truly starting to understand each other. You know, and it's really funny because I'm really debating a blog post and I'm stuck on this. You know, with everything going on in the world, you know, we have, you know, We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel, if you know that song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have this fire going on. It's always been going on. But you know what? It's on us to actually be the ones to change all those negative things.
Right.
And how do we go about changing those negative things? We go about by listening. By love, by mercy, by understanding. You know, some basic concepts that are taught by Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yet we don't enact in our everyday lives. And that's people across the spectrum, and it's not being judgmental of those individuals because we all do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just human nature to sometimes do that. And we have to find ways to change this world for the better.
And absolutely.
And we have to remember, and, you know, I sit here and think about this myself, we have to remember that everyone we encounter is created in the image and likeness of God, including the person that cuts me off in traffic, or the person that annoys me, or the, you know.
Yes.
And that's difficult. That becomes challenging at times for us to be able to recognize God's work.
And going back to this person on the street, I mean, they could have been a mogul. They could have been, you know, some made a lot of money, but they fell on hard times, whatever the story is.
Yep.
And it could be us. And
we can learn from that
mind.
Person. That's the point that Michael Carney was trying to make, that we often look at somebody who's homeless and we say, oh, I can help that person because I'm better than that person.
Yeah.
But maybe the Lord sent that person to help me because I am not better
precisely.
Than that person.
Precisely. And a lot, I mean, in our frenetic pace and people, I mean, the way the world, you know, hey, achieve, strive, and that's okay. But are we forgetting our brothers and sisters? That's what the point of it. We cannot forget our God, you know, our children, our brothers and sisters,
that's
God's
right.
children.
Boy, plenty to think about. Thanks for tuning into the program today.
Yeah.
Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. He's right by your side. Just make sure you turn around and say hi, and also look for him in those people you encounter. I'm Gary Zimek.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. God bless you. Talk to you next time.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating